Anna M. Jarvis. She was lived from 1864 to 1948. She was the first one who suggested the national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers because she had loved her own mother so dearly. At a memorial service for her mother on May 10, 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation, her mother's favorite flower, to each person who attended. Within the next few years, the idea of a day to honor mothers gained popularity, and Mother's Day was observed in a number of large cities in the U.S. On May 9, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. By then, it had been customary to wear white carnations to honor departed mothers and red ones to honor the living, a custom that continues to this day. In the church, there has been a debate about whether or not celebrating Mother's Day is appropriate, since there really is no such day mentioned in the Bible. Some claim that by honoring the mothers, those who are not able to have children end up getting isolated and some experience grief because of the praise given to the mothers. Well, I certainly don't want to make anybody grieve, but I don't think that it is a good enough reason to remove Mother's Day from the church calendar. So why should we celebrate Mother's Day? Well, it is appropriate to celebrate mothers, just like it is appropriate to honor the birth of Jesus by our traditional holiday known as Christmas, which, by the way, that special day wasn't in the Bible either. Taking the time to thank the Lord for our mothers, and in June we thank the Lord for our fathers, that's something that is biblical. After all, it is part of honoring our father and mother, which was a commandment written on a stone tablet that Moses brought down with him from Mount Sinai. So, I'm not afraid to celebrate Mother's Day. We should not feel bad about that. I mean, yes, we should pray for those who are grieving and having a hard time, but we should not let that cause us to neglect lifting up our mothers and thanking them for being who they are. Well, anyway, I've got this, it's called the Mother's Day version of Psalm 23, and I wanted to read that to you now. It says, "My mom is my shepherd, I shall not want. She makes me lie down under cool, downy comforts. She watches me play beside still waters. She restores my soul. She leads me in paths of respect, responsibility, and goodness, for I am her namesake. Yea, even though I walk past monsters in the dark, I will not be scared, because my mom is always near me. Her hands and her voice, they comfort me. Mama sets the table and cheerfully calls me to dinner, even in front of big, mean bullies. She anoints my skinned knees and broken heart with kisses. She smiles and throws me a towel when my cup runneth over. Surely God's peace, power, and mercy shall uphold me all the days of my life, for my mother taught me to dwell in the house of God forever." Well, as we continue our series on the Proverbs 31 woman, we're going to look at the woman as a planner. The title of this series is The Woman Who Fears the Lord, and last week I mentioned the main idea behind these sermons. The main idea is a woman who fears the Lord has no reason to fear losing her place in the house, or losing her place in the community, or even her place in the church. Her identity is secure because of her relationship with God. A woman who fears the Lord has no reason to fear anything on earth. She can be comfortable and secure in her present situation because she knows that God can take care of her, and her value comes from the Lord, not from the world. In the midst of this battle for significance, women should not feel the need to take away the man's position, because God already designed a unique place for the woman right beside the man as a partner. You see, the problem is when the man and the woman fight each other for dominance in the family instead of just embracing their differences and looking for what God has already established for their responsibilities. Of course, the biggest debate is on what the Bible actually says concerning the roles of men and women in the house. I mean, there's different opinions everywhere. Well, I'm not going to get into the discussion right now, but I can tell you this much. The short answer is that the Bible does not tell us who has to wash the dishes. It doesn't. It's really not that big of a deal, according to the Apostle Paul. This whole women's work, men's work thing, that would really wasn't on their mind. And you know what? We're not going to answer that question in Proverbs 31 either. Let's take our Bibles out. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going to go verses 16 through 19 this week. That's Proverbs 31, 16 through 19. It's page 552 in the Pew Bible if you want to look it up that way. Well, last week we talked about how this passage is written as a tribute to the writer's mom, and he is remembering what she told him about the kind of woman he needed to marry. The person mentioned is King Lemuel, and that could have been another name for Solomon. And if this is Solomon, then the mother would be Bathsheba. So anyway, she taught Solomon about the ideal woman that he should look for. But as we know from reading about his life, Solomon did not listen to his mother. He ended up making a huge mistake and messing up his life pretty bad. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Proverbs 31, 16 through 19. Proverbs 31, 16 through 19. Verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this wonderful example known as the Proverbs 31 woman. Help us to see what we can learn from this so that we can know how we should be living too. Help us to see past all of the stuff we may have been taught in the past. Help us to see what this really is instead of what others may think it is. Guide us through this sermon today. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in verse 16, right off the bat, we see that this woman knew what was needed. As we can see, this woman is not the stereotypical housewife straight out of the 1950s. There's so much more than meets the eye with this woman, and it begins with recognizing her position in life. Let's think about this for a second. If she is to be married to the king, then that would make her the queen. And if this is Bathsheba teaching Solomon about the ideal woman, logically, we can assume that she would be the wife of King Solomon. That would be queen of Israel. This means she would have to support him as he led the nation of Israel. Sometimes it would require having a business mind. That being the case, she was a businesswoman who knew what would benefit the royal family, and she was not afraid to go get it. She purchases a quality field. The verse says that she considered it and then purchased it. That means that she did her homework. She probably walked the land. She could have had somebody inspect it. She may have even researched the history so she could know what was there before she arrived. Was there a vineyard there? Were there crops? Did they have sheep out there in the field? What was going on with the field over the years? Well, whatever the conditions that she had for the land she was looking for, she saw that it was good and she wanted to get it. So she purchased it. Well, this also means that she had the authority to buy it too. While the king was busy with leading the nation, it would be good for the queen to handle business transactions that involved domestic activity, such as raising a garden, or in this case, a vineyard. So she most likely had the funds available and the authority to buy it, so she goes and buys this field. Well, we already learned from last week that she was responsible for the food, for feeding the people. This land could have been used for growing food to eat, but since it was a vineyard, it is possible that she could have built a winery that would provide drinks for the kingdom, and it could have also sold drinks at a profit. She could have been running a business along with taking care of the house, so this could have been a side business for her. Well, let's jump back in. Just to refresh our minds, let's take a look at verse 17 and 18 again. 17, it says, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She was not afraid to work. She was a strong woman. Dressing herself with strength and making her arms strong could have been a reference to work in the field that she purchased, or it could mean that she had a workout routine and some exercises to stay in shape so that she could keep up with her daily responsibilities. Because sometimes you need to stay in shape that way. Well, either way, this is the indication that she had a great work ethic, and that made her valuable from a kingdom perspective. This was a woman who was not afraid to work. And she understood the value of work. Not only was she a great businesswoman, she also worked to make sure her transaction was profitable. She made it work. She did well for her business and it prospered. The Bible has several examples of women who were successful. Last week we talked about how there were some women who helped Jesus with his money for his ministry, and he was able to be able to go from town to town because of these women who supported him. Well, we also have Lydia as another example of a successful woman in the Bible. And I had us reading about her this week. In Acts chapter 16, Lydia was a woman from Thyatira who lived in Philippi. She was a seller of purple goods and a worshiper for the Lord. Well, you know, purple was the most expensive color to make because of the process involved, and this made it hard for common people to purchase. That is why the color purple is associated with royalty. So Lydia became wealthy because of her business of dealing with the purple goods. Well, she had a house large enough to host Paul and his partners in ministry while they were in town. She hosted the church in Philippi for a while after it was established. By the time Paul writes the letter to the Philippians, the church grew large enough to have elders and deacons leading. But it began as a woman's prayer group beside the river. And thanks to Lydia using her house, and I'm sure she was offering financial help too, well, because of all of that, the church ended up flourishing, and the church became a very healthy church, thanks to the contributions of Lydia. Well, getting back to Proverbs 31, the text says that she stays alert all night. In verse 15, we learn that she gets up before the sun rises in order to prepare food for the family. Well, here in verse 18, we see that she is up all night. That means that she has a very long day, full of stuff that needs to get done. She does not have the luxury of sleeping in. It's kind of hard to imagine that she did not get any sleep at all, but there have been times when our lives get so busy we forget to take time to rest, so that's possible. That could have been what was happening with this woman being described. Or, you know, there is another way to look at this passage, though. Let's think about this for a second. Instead of this being an indication that she was always up and working, the verses could be saying that she was alert and ready for whenever she was needed. But she may not have been staying up every night. In other words, she was on call for those who needed something. Business owners know, they know how this goes. If something happens, the employees, they can just clock out and go home, and they'll just come back the next day, and hopefully everything's been handled. But, you know, the business owner can't do that. The business owner has to deal with whatever the problem is. They are pretty much married to the job. Nobody else is going to be able to take care of the issues that happen. They have to be the ones to do this. Well, the Proverbs 31 woman has a responsible business mind that causes her to be ready to take care of whatever shows up through the night. So she's most likely a business owner that's taking care of stuff. That vineyard that she purchased, well, it could have been, needing protection from the animals or maybe even people trying to steal some of the fruit. Well, whatever the case was, she was alert and she was making sure that nothing was happening to her business. She stayed alert on call. Well, as we get back into this, let's take a look at verse 19 one more time. Verse 19, it says, she puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Not only was she not afraid to work, she also knew how to work. She knew what to do. In verse 13, we saw that she went after wool and purchased wool. Well, now she's using that wool from verse 13. Remember that she was looking for it. Now it's time to do something with it. Not only is she the one who goes shopping, she's also the one who does something with it whenever she comes home. Well, we know that they didn't have a Hobby Lobby back then. So she would either have to go to a merchant selling wool, or she would have had to go out and shear the sheep herself. Well, my guess is that since she was married to the king, she would have the money to buy the wool. So she probably didn't shear it herself. She probably went and purchased it. Well, whenever she got home, she created items made of wool. Now, we have no idea about what she made. The Bible doesn't really say what it was. But we can assume that most likely there was clothes for the family. But it could have also been tapestries, wall coverings for the palace, something fancy like that. She could have had other women helping her with the big projects. I mean, those probably would have been pretty big projects. I doubt this was a very small operation, especially since this is the royal family leading Israel. She was very resourceful. She did great things with what she was blessed with. And I can imagine that this would have been one of those great things that she did. Well, you know what? We could learn from her example. We also need to be resourceful with our church. We need to figure out what we need to be successful with the Great Commission and then work to make it happen. We can become strong workers as we continue on a daily basis working for the Lord. So what do we need? What do we need as a church to be successful? Well, we already have the land, so there's no need to purchase it. We own this land. Now, we don't own sheep, so I'm guessing that if we needed wool, we probably would have to go somewhere to get it. Now, we do have a Hobby Lobby in Greenwood, so we could get materials if we need materials in order to do something. So, well, we would need to be able to make clothes so that we could clothe people in Christ, spiritually speaking. We need to learn the scriptures that can lead people to Christ. We need to study and make sure that we are able to teach others about Jesus and the plan of salvation. We need to prepare food for the family of God in a spiritual sense so that we can grow strong and continue our work for the kingdom. In other words, we have to be able to clothe people with Christ by the scriptures that we use. And then we have to feed them when they get here so that they can grow up to become mature Christians. You see, we could follow the example of the Proverbs 31 woman. And when we do, we can grow this church and we can make it something great for the Lord. Well, there's one more final thought about the woman. Something that we can pull out of this as we take a look. She was personally involved in her work. Even if she did have people helping her. Verse 19 says that she held the spindle with her hands. She held it. She was not too good to get her hands dirty. She was not afraid of work. She stepped up. She led by example instead of just barking orders for others to follow. She was personally involved in her work. We should be personally involved in our work for the Lord. We should not just rely on others to do what we have been called to do. So what have we been called to do? Well, Jesus told us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything he commanded. And that all nations part, well, it begins right here in the community. In fact, it begins right here inside our church. We already had a baptism today. So now let's go and find somebody else. Who's next? Let's think about that in our lives. Who needs to know about Jesus? Who else can we reach? We should be planning our next move to stir the waters of the baptistry again. What is our next assignment? Let's pray about that. And then let's make it happen.